Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 73 in our teaching series, a study of the book of Acts with Paul's writings, titled Chapter 15, Gentiles Not to Offend the Jews, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
We do appreciate you all being here this morning to study God's Word and to dive into it. And I think we're doing the book of Acts. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we're taking our time. I think it's, lesson 73, and we're just through chapter 15, so I think you could say we're taking our time. And 73 stands for weeks. You know how many weeks are in a year, so it's taken us a year and a half to get here. But to me, it's very important to understand the book of Acts as we go through it. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a group of seven parables there, which I'm sure you're all very familiar with. And in the first two parables, one, the first one's the sower, which y'all know well, and you got wheat and tares. But the first two parables of Matthew 13 that Jesus gives of the seven, the first two, he explains them. He gives you I call it a primer. The first two parables, he gives them, and then he gives the interpretation of the first two. Then what you do is you take the interpretation of the first two, and you use the same analogies, the comparisons for the next five. In other words, he gives you the symbols in the first two of what happens. The fowls of the air of the first parable, fowls of the air came and got the word of God. Then the parable of the mustard seed. The fowls of the air land in the branches. Well, you already know what the fowls of the air are because of Jesus gave us the information on how to decipher those parables. But in the first parable, about the sower, he gives the explanation, understanding to the sower. And when he does that, he says that there's an increase, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Y'all remember that in the scripture? And when Jesus is given an explanation of that 30, 60, 100, he says that the good ground has understanding. So the only difference in the good ground and the bad ground was the good ground had understanding and the bad ground didn't. So there's one thing to have faith in the Word of God, and there's another thing to have faith in the Word of God and understand it. I mean, faith, I'm all for. But then there's something called understanding. So why do we take a year and a half to get through chapter 15? I want you to have some understanding. I want you to understand what's happening. I want you to understand what's going on. Because with understanding comes increase. When you say, well, how does understanding bring increase? It's because it's understanding the truth. You can have the truth and then you can understand the truth. And let me tell you the difference. What you understand, you retain. So it works. What you understand, you'll retain. If you got to memorize everything, you need to be a lot better at it than me, because I'm not very good at memorization. Some people are, and I'm not one of them. But that's the reason this teaching that I'm doing here is for understanding reasons. And I'll go over a lot of things quite a few times from different angles. And you say, well, Alan, I've kind of heard you do that 2 weeks ago. Yeah, but I'm giving you a different angle this time because I'm really wanting you to understand it. I don't want just to fly through it and say, we're now done the book of Acts, and you not understand the thing a bit more than you did at the beginning. So today what we'll do is I've had several people ask me some questions. All right, Alan, I'm not quite getting what does this mean or what does this mean or whatever. And I'm going to go over it from different angles again. What happens with the way understanding works? Let me tell you how it works. Understanding is not memorization, you see. Well, it is some comprehension, but comprehension is more of a operation of the mind. What I'm talking about is an operation of the spirit. This is what you call spiritual understanding. And it comes through, and you could use comprehension, that would be fine. But you cannot use spirit and still have comprehension. So this type of understanding is understanding through the spirit. And that's a little different. It's just a little different. And I've had people ask me questions, well, Alan, prove this, this, and this. And I'm like, it took me 30 years of studying God's Word to get to this understanding. You see what I'm saying? I can't sit down and give you verse this, 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 because I'm like, well, that's not the way it works. And a lot of y'all sitting here today, you know what I'm talking about. You're where you are through spiritual understanding. Well, prove it. You would have had to taken my journey for me to prove it. And that's the difference. When a lot of people don't understand me when I'm teaching, I get it. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. Because when I'm teaching, I'm trying to put down enough verses to kind of prove what I'm saying. But you got to understand, I can't put down all the verses plus all of my life to show you why I ended up here. It's totally impossible. So what I'm hoping for is I'll give enough information that the Holy Spirit gives you understanding, if you're with me. And that's the reason I say, without the element of the Holy Spirit, I haven't got a chance. I can't prove to you everything I'm saying, because without this element of the Holy Spirit, you say, well, Alan, I'm not seeing that. That's fine. It's maybe not time for you to see it that way. I'm totally comfortable with that. And just like I say, I've had to go through a lot of things. And not only that, there's things in my life that I haven't gotten the full understanding yet. And you might have it. I don't have the full understanding of it, but I'm working towards it. I'm asking the Lord for it. The way it works, you've heard me say this before. I heard an old preacher say it years ago, when I was very young. In the process of it, I said, and I've said it here before, but I'll say it again. Just because you read the Bible every day and you can't memorize this chapter or you can't memorize verses. We used to be in Bible drill when I was growing up in church. I couldn't do it. But everybody would look at me and say, Alan, where is that in the Bible? And I could tell them because I understood how God put it together. So I know where it is. Can you quote it? Not in your life, but I can say it's right there on the page. Yeah, I can tell you that. So a lot of y'all know, you know what I'm talking about. But here's what happens. To read the Word of God every day doesn't mean I've got to remember it, because I can ask you this question. What did you eat 3 weeks ago? Tell me your 3 meals that you had on Tuesday 3 weeks ago. And you couldn't tell me. You say, well, I know I ate, but I can't tell you exactly what I ate because I can't remember that. Well, the question is, well, did that food give you any nourishment? And the answer is yes. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, so you don't have to remember the Word of God, what you read 3 weeks ago. Just read it because it's giving your spirit man nourishment. It's because there's something else, there's a supernatural phenomena about this book. You just read it. You take it into your spirit man. And I promise you there's more supernaturally going on in the spirit in your life than it is what's in your conscious mind. If you think your spirit man can be determined by what you're operating in your conscious mind, this is good news. Your spirit man is much further along than your conscious mind. That will take a little while to get the understanding, okay? But your spirit man's much further along in the spirit than your conscious mind. So when we get into debate or argument or whatever, we want to go by the conscious mind. And we know when we hear ourselves talk, this sounds dumb. You ever had that happen? When you feel like you're dumb in your conversation, that means you're using your natural mind. Hush. Or as some say, shut up. Just be quiet, because you're operating your conscious mind. And so what happens is you have if you take somebody that can write songs, they can sit down at a piano or a guitar and start messing around with it and come up with a tune with a chorus and put some words to it. Now, if you write a song, it's made up of notes. It helps if you understand a little bit about theory as far as music's concerned. It helps if you write a song at a piano, it's very helpful that you already know how to play a piano before you sit down at a piano and write a song. So you understand some things about the instrument. And so you learn 3 chords, you learn your scales, you learn all that stuff, and it takes years, guitar or piano, takes years. And then you know all that stuff. Well, when you sit down and write a song, you don't say, well, I got to play B, A, I got to play this note. No, because see, that kills creativity. The understanding of music's got to already be in you. Then you sit down, you write a song. Are you with me? How can you write a song? Because you understand music. You're not consciously saying a C and a F and a G, just doing the mechanics. All of a sudden, something starts flowing out of you in the spirit. And it's because the understanding of music is in you. That's what that understanding word means in the Bible here. When Jesus says you get 30, 60, 100-fold, it's because you understand it. And so because this book's in you, you can write a song of the Spirit. You can speak prophetically. You can see things you otherwise couldn't see. Well, Alan, how do you know that? I don't know. It took me 30 years to get here, of getting this book in me. I'm trying to explain a spiritual phenomenon. Is anybody kind of with me? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the value of learning how to play this book. You got to get it in you. You really got to get it in you. You don't go to the book to prove your point. You go to the book to get it in you, that you might operate in the Spirit. You operate in the Spirit. What does operating in the Spirit look like? Most of the time, it looks like wisdom. Well, Alan, give me the verse for what you just said. Well, I can't, because the Holy Ghost just played a tune on my heart to give to you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just as surprised to say it as you are to hear it. Now, Michael, we've been together on in a conference here not long ago, and he had people lined up for him to talk to and give a word to. And this is the truth. It's because it's already in him. He didn't know what he was saying. Only thing I can tell you is when I saw him, when he came out of there, he'd had a good time to be played by the Holy Ghost. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so that phenomena, that's a supernatural phenomena that the church has, that the church carries. It's 10 o'clock and I ain't started teaching yet. I'm trying to make a point so I can start teaching. I hope you're getting my point here. I think my point's going to be longer than my teach. But it's important to understand the supernatural, the spiritual phenomena of the Holy Ghost, and making a comparison of what I was teaching you there, it's to be able to master. Kathy's sitting back there. She comes up here and plays the viola. She can be at practice or not, doesn't make much difference, because she can come up here, she can hear it. She's going to pretty much fall in line with the key and the notes that need to be in there. Did she read a sheet of music? No. She's done it for so long, it's in her. So therefore, she can play it. And I can say, well, Kathy, now, when did you learn how to play that? You'd say, well, I didn't really learn how to play that. I just played that. So you mean to tell me you can't tell me when or how? You see, there's a spontaneity of the Spirit, that the Spirit will create a song to come out of your heart because you have a level of understanding. The greater level of understanding, the greater platform God will give you to speak into. Because God's not playing. He's got to have people that understand, that have this book in them. And they know this book. They know what's in this book. I'm tickled not to have a conversation with Trevor. As I'm up here teaching, I'm trying very hard to have at least one thing that impresses him. And I'll tell you why. The Bible's almost boring to him because he knows what's on the next page, right? And so I'm letting him know he knows a lot of the next page, but he don't know all the next page. I say that out of fun, I think. But nonetheless, to have this book in us with a level of understanding is very important. In the days in which we're going, it's important that we have a level of understanding. There's a lot of question today about the nation Israel and the church. Who's what did what, who's done this. I've taught y'all on replacement theology, how that's kind of the biggest thing out there at the moment that's against the nation Israel, so to speak. I think it's important to have understanding so you can have an understanding brings a correct interpretation to what you're reading. That's what understanding does. So we're constantly trying to gain more revelatory understanding by the Holy Ghost. And I can say, oh God, give me more wisdom, give me more revelation. I can do all that stuff. And the Holy Spirit saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Get the nourishment in you. Get it in you. Get it in you. I've even taken naps, have a recorder playing the Word of God, so I'm sitting there sleeping and it's playing. Because I know the truth. It's poured in you. All that you can get in you, pour it in you. All that you can get. Now, so let's go forward here. With that in mind, I like to always start with a character that a spiritual person. Does anybody know who that picture is? It sure is. It's Jim Elliot. Here's a famous quote of him. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Isn't that incredible? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And for sure, he gave his life for something. That's Jim Elliot. And here you see his name is Philip James Elliot, American Christian missionary and one of five people killed during Operation Acria, an attempt to evangelize, I can't say that word. Who is that, Trevor? Irania, people of Ecuador. Jim Elliot is an American Christian missionary, was killed January the 8th, 1956, along with four other missionaries, Nate, Peter, Roger, by the Cuban tribe in Ecuador. They were attempting to make contact and share the gospel with Baroranum people. And I'm sure most of you in the room have heard of this group of missionaries that was killed very young in their 20s. The deaths of the missionaries drew significant attention to missions efforts, and ultimately it led to many of these people converting to Christianity through the ongoing work. Now, the ongoing work of who? They were killed as soon as they got there. Elizabeth Elliot. In other words, Jim Elliot's wife, her husband got killed. She went back and evangelized. And not only that, Rachel Sank, which was Nate, he was one of the other missionaries, and others, which I think that's just powerful. That's just, how in the world could you do that? Elizabeth Elliot evangelized these people, also known as those people, of that place in Ecuador. After her husband Jim and four other missionaries were killed by the Herorian people while attempting to make contact, Elizabeth, along with Rachel, Jim's sister-in-law, returned to live among them at the tribe's invitation. Isn't that something? They worked on Bible translation, evangelism, education, alongside of a Herorian woman named Adam, who had previously converted to Christianity. I think that's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, Jim Elliot, I think they were in their 20s, I think. They were very young. But I think they had a level of understanding. Not only did they have faith, but they had faith with understanding. One other thing, which I'll not go into it. Faith plus understanding equals knowing. It's one thing to have faith for God to do something, and it's another one to know God's going to do something. And I won't stop on that one right there. That's another teaching, maybe one day. Okay, here we go. Let's pick up here in Acts 15. James, of course, again, is quoting out of Amos. He uses the term after this. I would like for you to really grab hold of the understanding of after this, because it just helps you in understanding the scriptures. Acts 15:13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "And men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon," or Peter, same name, "has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this degree agree the words of the prophets." Now that's important. Here you got the Gentiles, you got the Apostle Paul goes to Jerusalem in this council meeting, and Peter comes on to say, now listen, don't get so riled up here. This is a prophetic word coming true. So he was referring them back to a prophetic word to say, listen, this isn't something crazy. It's in the Word of God. And so he says, take out people for his name. Now in verse 14, Peter or Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now there again, I want you to see, you see that where it says to take out of them a people for his name. Now, we already know that the Jews were a people for God's name. They're called what? The people of God, the Jews, God's people. Well, here we see another people for his name. Okay, just keep that in mind as we're studying here. And to this agree, the words of the prophets. So here he's referring now to the prophets. And after this, now this is in Amos. After this, so Peter's telling them, going back, pulling out of Amos. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now you got to understand, when this was penned, the temple wasn't falling down. Well, here's this scripture's referring to it as it's fallen down, which it was going to in approximately 20 more years. This point in time, it had not. So he starts quoting this after this, and the after this he's referring to, the fallen down part he's referring to hadn't fallen down yet. So this is what you would call definitely a prophetic word. And to this agreed prophet is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So we see we have what I call here, I'm pointing out, I'm using after this as a marker. We got after this, and we're going to have another word, until. Those are what I call time markers. You see what I'm saying? After this marks a time. Until marks a time. So in my Bible, I put down, when I run across time markers, I'll put marker. Because I know that the timing means a lot. Now, when this is penned in Acts 15, this study is studying the book of Acts with inserting Paul's writings. That's what the title of this study is. The Apostle Paul, and I'm going to give you the scripture, brings more definition to what the after this is. It's in Romans. I'm going to show you where he refers back to the after this part. We have more information. You want more information on after this? It's in Romans. Paul tells us, but I want you to understand this. When Paul writes it in Romans, it's 8 years after this was penned. So they did not have the understanding of Paul here. Does that make sense? 8 years later, we get more understanding about the after this. That's what you call progressive revelation. In the scripture, God reveals things, but it's important not to think it all happened on the same day. You see, because the Holy Spirit's speaking. Holy Spirit speaks to Paul because there was a need in the church, there Rome, it was a need. They needed more understanding on what the after this looked like. So then Paul pens all of that in Romans, and we'll insert some of it. But you must understand it was 8 years after this. So they got 8 years of the after this that they didn't really know what the after this was. They had a little bit of understanding based on Amos, and Peter brought that to the table. And that residue might be secret. Okay, it says, all Gentiles upon my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Okay, and all the Gentiles, now Gentile here is a Gentile, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord. Now, so here we actually got two groups of the people of God. One's the Jewish nation, then there's this other group of Gentiles that'll be called by my name. But it wasn't long after this that they got this name called Christian at Antioch. All right, sometime in the, it's hard to pinpoint the exact time. Nonetheless, today we're called Christians and we're Gentiles. We're called by His exact name. It says called by His name. It wasn't just a little casual name, Christian, Christ-like. We are Christians. So we're out of this second group of Gentiles here. They're called, it saith the Lord of who doeth all these things. So you find that this group of Gentiles, you got the people of God, the Jews, then you got another people of God called Christians, made up of Gentiles. And at this point of mixing Jew and Gentile together, those revelations were just coming about. I make it akin unto segregation. It's about the same thing. A friend of mine that I went to school with, a black friend of mine, lives right down the road from me. His name's Delma Parker. Might pray for him. His wife, he woke up this morning, his wife was dead in the bed. That just was like 6 o'clock this morning. And his name was Delma. His brother's name's Zachary Parker. And they were the first black guys at Stony Point School when I was in school. Started integrating. We were great friends, but we were friends before he came to my school because we lived close to each other. And the other went to Happy Plains. But nonetheless, you had this two groups of people coming together. It's not a bit different here for the Gentiles and the Jews. You had two groups of people come together. Now, you could have blacks and whites come together and we're members of Stony Point School. But the blacks are still black and the whites are still white. Now, between me and you, there's no difference in us. There's absolutely no difference in us. So we are living in a day and an age. There's no difference in us. I hope you can catch in the spirit what I'm saying. There's no difference in us. We're living in the day of grace, not Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. Why? Because we're to be living. How do you know you're in the spirit? Because you know there's no difference in you. Now, with the Jewish nation, but here there's still a difference. You got the Jews, the people of God, and you got the Gentiles. And I gave you the scripture a couple weeks ago, a prophecy where this group of Gentiles, which of us, will come out of a bunch of heathen. That's what it says. So this group of people, the lineage is heathen. So I'm a heathen saved by grace. I don't have a pedigree. I'm a junkyard dog. And you are too. And it was out of us, it was out of our pedigree, lack of pedigree, if you will, that God chose a people that had no hope, had no pedigree. He chose a people that couldn't bring anything to the table to pour out His grace and mercy on, to prove a point. It's 100% the grace of God. You got a bunch of junkyard dogs. God saved you 100% by the cross of Christ, and you have contributed nothing. And the only thing He asked us to do is to run around and shout about it and be happy. That's all He's asking. Run around, shout about it, and be happy. He said, along the way, if you'll get the Word of God in you, I might even like to use you a little bit. And that's where the fun comes in, is being used by the Spirit of God in each other's lives and in the lost. And nonetheless, let's move on here. Get back into Amos 9:11 through 12. This is what it says here. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. Okay. The after this that he's speaking about up here, the after this, he says, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. You see that? After this I will return. Well, he's saying that out of Amos. In that day I will raise up. So you got a time that's called in that day, I will raise up. All right, what is that day? That day is actually at the end of the day of the Gentiles, okay? And he goes on to say, the tabernacle of David that has fallen closes up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden, and all of the heathen, say there's my uncle, Uncle Heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. So I hope we can understand and see how us, God pulled out of the heathen nations to show first how long-suffering and loving he really is. That's the message. So we have inherited something that we have done nothing to get. The only thing we mastered was sin. That's all we could do. So do you realize what kind of love of God? And then after we get saved, then all of a sudden we want to feel like we did something. That's what we call you have left your first love. That's what that means. You've left your first love when you really think you're contributing something. Now, we can contribute something. And what that is to die to that old heathen self that Christ might live through us. How does Christ actually live through me? Because I get this book in here. You say, well, me, Alan, I need to study 10, 12. No, there's a supernatural transaction takes place when you read this book and get it in here. I don't know if you care if you memorized it or not. Now, are you still with me? So something happens as we get nourished. Something happens. That's the reason we even when we come to church and we're friends and we love each other, all of this, don't get together and talk about somebody. Don't slander this person the way you know how they are. I'll be glad they leave the church. Don't do all that. Because we're getting together, feeding each other the Word of God in spirit. That's the reason we're here together. If you got a bad attitude and need to talk to somebody, don't do it here. Okay, wait till after church and say, will you come to my house? Say, I've got a bad attitude. I need to be delivered of a demon. Will you come see me? That's all you got to do. But when we come here, we're wanting to feed each other this book. And the more this book we get in us, in the beginning was the Word. So how do I, the Scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's he saying? The Word in you, the hope of glory. You don't have to go totally mystical here and say all of a sudden, oh, Christ in me, I have no understanding of that, so I'm just going to stop my thinking. No, I'm giving you understanding of what Christ in you, the hope of glory, looks like. It's this book. Now you should understand it fully. The more of this book we get in us, the more Christ is in us. How do I get baptized? The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's Christ's Spirit. So I want more of the baptism of the Spirit. Okay, get pour in more of this. It's the book. I know that maybe sounds a little simplistic, and I'd love to lay hands on everybody, and you lay hands on me, and all of a sudden it happens. But something happens. There's a spiritual transaction happens as I pour in this book. Listen, that could be through worship. It could be through a lot of things. And it also should be in good Christian community that we get together. And let's say, for instance, that one of us could have, we'll say we had an alcoholic in here this past weekend. You fell off the wagon or the truck or whatever you want to call it. You partook of alcohol. And the reason I'm saying this happened to me two days ago. And you got drunk again, and you still find yourself in here on Sunday. All of us know it. You know how the Word is in the house of God. Everybody knows it. And the question is, are we going to go back there and preach him Bible, or are we going to be Christ to him? Let's say we got visitors in here today. Visitors come every week. How many of us seek out the visitors just to make them welcome? Hey, we're so glad you're here. You just made our day a little brighter, which is the truth. What is that? That's Christ being poured out of you into somebody else. And guess what happened? They just got nourished, spiritual nourishment, by you doing that. And that's a true transaction. So many people today are running around, especially Christians, not being validated, not being recognized, not being running short on encouragement because the body of Christ is not functioning and being Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have to kind of check our motives. Do I want more Christ in me so I have his power? Or do I want more Christ in me so you can have his power? We have to see how much of it's self-seeking. So I want us to see that. And I will raise up after this, after what? Verse 14, Peter has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name and to agree the words of the prophets as it is written. He's saying God doing that is in accordance to the words of the prophets. And then he says, after that happens, then I will raise up the tabernacle of David. That's the second coming of Christ. So I know. Now, how do I get more information about God at the first did visit the Gentile? How do I get more information about that statement? You go to the book of Romans. I just told you, 8 years after this, Paul said, okay, they need more understanding. The Holy Spirit gives it to Paul. I don't know if Paul went up or the Spirit came down. Either way, he got more information about it. He wrote it in the book of Romans. So you can understand more about what the after this is talking about. I hope I helped a little and I didn't confuse you more. Okay, let's move on. After this refers to the calling out of the Gentiles, and after that, he will return. So I got the after this and the after that, and then a lot of people will use that verse and say, well, you see, Alan, the church are going through the tribulation. I'm like, well, no, you got to insert Paul's writings, the book of Thessalonians before then, about the rapture of the church and all that. Can you see how it's important that you insert the revelations in the right places? If you don't, you're going to come up with the wrong theology. So anyway, here we go. In Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul explains 8 years later the future of Israel. Romans 11, 25. Now, there's a reason I think the 8 years was in there. God, of course, knew that Israel was not going to accept Jesus as a nation, yet as their Messiah. But God, even though he knew that, he had to let the Jews live out their opportunity of accepting or rejecting. Does that make sense? God knew it, but he didn't operate off of what he knew. He operated off of giving them the time to make a choice. And that's the reason God staggers out his information, if you will. Romans 11, 25 tells us, until implies that the blindness will be lifted. It says there, you know the scripture, blindness in parts happened to the nation Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So we know that this group of people that's a bunch of heathen that God saved, we know that there's going to be a time to that group of God's people is going to be full. And after that, the blindness is going to be lifted. Now, the scripture says, I can't know when this fullness time is full, but I can know the seasons here. When I see something happening in Israel, then I know kind of what season it is. And so I see something happening in Israel today, and there since 1948. Today, you have a huge move on how the nation Israel is the reason we support all of these wars in the Middle East. There's all kinds of stuff out there now on how the United States is run by the Jewish nation. All of this stuff is out there today. Very, very strong. It's pushed mostly by Christians. Mostly by Christians. And their theology is of replacement theology persuasion, most of it. How the church has replaced Israel, so therefore we don't need Israel. They're just in the way. There again, you need to know a little Bible. When we know a little Bible, I think I said last week, God's looking at people as individuals today. I'm not saying he doesn't look at a nation. He does the nation Israel. But the idea is there's neither male nor female, you know, the scripture. God's dealing with individuals, dealing totally with individuals today. And in the Jewish nation today, you've got a group of Jews, which we see in Acts 15, you've got a group of Jews that have yet to be converted unto the truth that Jesus is their Messiah. We know that now. You got another group of Jews that have been converted. Small group, but you got a group. They believe Jesus is the Messiah, Messianic Jews. 30, 40 years ago, you could go to Jerusalem, and if you were a Jew converted that Jesus is the Messiah, you'd kind of hide out. You were not seen favorably by the Jews that had not accepted that Jesus is the Messiah. And they were mainly in charge. So you got a group that doesn't believe he's the Messiah. You got a group that does believe he's the Messiah. Then you got another group over here that is in the book of Revelation. I think I got the scripture up here, but I got 3 minutes, so I'm hurrying up. There's another group of Jews over here that Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he says, there's a group that calls themselves Jews, but they're not really Jews, and they are the synagogue of Satan. Now, so I've got a group of Jews here, anywhere from the synagogue of Satan to believing Jews to non-believing Jews, but they will be in the Jewish nation. So are there some Jews out there out of the synagogue of Satan? You better believe it. Can you hear me? That's right. But then you got some that are believers. There's actually about 350 Messianic churches in Jerusalem today. So you can kind of be one today and not get strung up. But then you also got a strong arm of Judaizing Jews, I guess you could say. But you got this vast group of people. Can you see why, if you got the synagogue of Satan Jew, which has been provided for Hollywood for a lot of just not good stuff, if there's any bad stuff, it had a lot of Jewish money out of that group's pockets. So we got people in internet today that's figured out that one's a Jew, it's had money. So now all of a sudden, the Jewish nation needs to be destroyed. And the United States is now backing them, and we need to quit it. But can you see how elementary that discernment is? I'm like, come on, y'all, somebody do a little homework. I can so tell nobody's read their Bible. You know what I'm saying? Then we got personalities today debating Bible, and they don't ever read one. My point, we need the understanding. We need faith plus understanding. Faith plus understanding equals wisdom. And when we operate out of that wisdom, you'll get 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return. I'm wanting this group of Bible believers every Sunday to gain a little more understanding of this book. I'm not saying you're going to have all understanding. I don't have all understanding. But I want to bring enough to the table that you can check out, that you'll have understanding. And please remember the little story I taught you. If you want to know how to write music, you need to have music in you. If you want to understand God, you need to have His Word in you. All right, we'll pick up here next week. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word. I ask and pray, Lord, if there's anything I've said that's not of You, it'd fall to the ground. But if I said any things of You in Your Spirit, I pray it'll be quickened to our hearts. It might equal understanding in Your people. Understanding in Your people. That this people could have an increase of 30, 60, 100-fold. I pray they'll test what I've said, but they'll truly test it and seek out the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Be with us in our worship, that we might worship You in spirit and truth. There'll be many needs in this room today, Lord Jesus. And I ask and pray, Lord God, that You show up and show out to bring You honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.